from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's severely lacking in pop culture references that are relevant, because I just haven't been listening to any pop, I mean, not just pop music. You know, it's summertime for me. When you're hearing this, it may not be summertime, some summertime, or like, so yeah, I'm just here. You see, man, this is confusing. I thought this was a sleep podcast. Yeah, this is a podcast that's here to keep you company and put you to sleep. I'm glad you're here. It's a little bit different, but you're the most important thing about the show. So yeah, if you're new, glad you're here. If you're a regular listener, what up, my regular listeners? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need to eat my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please, and thank the listeners who supported the sponsors so we can be here for free twice a week on the regular. If you support a sponsor, let them know about it. Let me know about it. Support BetterHelp. They're one of our biggest sponsors. They've been here throughout the years. I hear from a lot of listeners who have checked out BetterHelp because of the support of the podcast. If you do that, let them know about it. Let me know about it so I can thank you in the Sleepy Supporter Zone. I'd love to thank you. So let me know whether it's BetterHelp or you support another sponsor. Fill out the form, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors, so I can thank you right here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of extra help, there's links to resources you can connect with right now in the show notes. It's also about being a part of communities, being a part of our communities with our actions, saying Black Lives Matter, saying stop AAPI hate, say, and support Ukraine. So there's links to resources where you can learn more, you can take action. And one of the actions we're taking as a community is building hygiene kits for people experiencing homelessness. You could support that effort by signing up for our newsletter. You'll find out everything about it for free. sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. You can find out more there and be a part of, join us in working as a community and supporting positive change. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson. Who sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Lecture. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget to sign up for that newsletter, sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. And what do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble, getting to sleep, trouble, staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it as a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts you're thinking about on your mind. So thoughts, anything about the past, the present, the future. It could be feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally, related to those thoughts, or just feelings that are there, physical sensations, anything you're dealing with physically, changes in time, temperature, or routine. Whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'm here to help. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to keep you company and take your mind off stuff so you could fall asleep. Also repetition, accidental repetition. So what I propose to do is I have this safe place. I'm going to smooth it. I'm going to pat it. I'm going to rub it down. I'm going to do the old magic hands or like some sort of hands that say, poof, safe place. And then I'll walk away and you could check it out on your own. And, or I could smooth it, pat it, and rub it down. Oh, I already said, and pat, oh, I did say pat it. I always think about padding safe places to say, okay, it's ready to go now. How come, here's an idea, hotel barons. I know there's, I guess there's not hotel barons anymore, but there probably are. They just, you know, they're whatever, behind the scenes. But you want to really fancify your hotel, have an official padder, you know, bed padder, and they could have gloves or whatever. You know, you got to service your clientele. But you say all our beds are smooth, padded, and rubbed down. Not only do we do have a turndown, we have a turndown service and rub it down, and say, you know, smooth. We have a turndown, smooth it, pad it, rub it down, turn it down. Service at our hotel, and then we pad it again. And you can actually, here's the thing, maybe it's more comfortable to witness that. I don't know, maybe not. Though you say, not in my room. So here's what you do then. Here's, it gets even better. You say every 15 minutes or so in the lobby in the evening when people are coming in and out from dinner or their conference ended, you have your smoothing, you pad it, you rub it down. A bed, you know, you have a raised bed, just like in the rooms. It could be a little piece of performance art. I don't think you could hire me because I got to work on the podcast. But we could work out a video or something. I mean, like, I can't do it. I'm not good at any of that stuff, but you could pay, you know, it could be done. And maybe put it in your ads. You say, well, boy, I might like that. I might like that bed. If it's smooth and pat, rubbed down. But if you're like, there's only certain hotels I'll stay at. So just not that I have to stay at fancy hotels. I just, I have had personal, anyway, not important. Let's just move on. There was one of my favorite hotels, they have like a parrot that's lived in the hotel for years and years and years. And that's just a regular, it's not a super fancy one, but it has a lobby. You need a lobby to do this. So just lobby-based hotels, but probably one of the super fancy ones. Because I don't know if I've had stayed at a place with turndown. I've been turned down before, but I've been turned down plenty of times. And a turndown I have offer a turndown service for my dog. Or like a nesting service. Oh, I'm supposed to introduce a podcast. Oh boy, went off topic early there. Oh, what a delight. All right, so if you're new, what I'm going to do as I smooth and pat, after I smooth and pat and rub down that safe place, and when I say rub down, I just mean that's just another version of padding, padding the padding, you know. I'm padding the batting. I put the padding in the batting. That's also padding, but I'm padding and smoothing, if you catch my drift. There's no drift to catch. That's actually what I would be doing. Smoothing, padding, and I guess I wouldn't be rubbing it down, but I would be just because that's from a song I like. And then I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, which is my voice, imperfect, but ideally distracting, a bit distracting and a bit comforting. Pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. I think I did a few of those in there. Like I was trying to make a point and then I got way too into my smoothing and padding. Then I made a proposal. Then I retracted my proposal because I said I was getting carried away because I said, actually, I don't know if just send me money, but only certain companies could send me money. Probably better off to just imagine it, right? Then it would be free. The hotels would love that. They'd say, okay, wait a second. So your idea costs us nothing. When people walk in, we hand them a card and we say, close your eyes and imagine us smooth. So they say, we'll take it. This cost is zero, right? And I'd say, sure. I mean, if that helps your guests, I guess I would be fine with it. If you're not charging for it, imagine your bed. Imagine that fact. This is what they'd say. At some point today, Your bed was smooth, padded, and rubbed down. We can't confirm that, but nor can we deny it. So picture that as you go, you know, as you head up to your room. In the elevator, you could do it. The elevator could say that. So that's a point. Those are pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. And all this is to keep you company so you could fall asleep. So if you're new, this show is very, very different. It's not your average podcast. It's not above average either. And it's not below average. It's to the side of average, you see. So you're not, your podcast is neither below or above nor average. And I say, no, it's a it's a deviation from the standard deviation. If I knew what that meant, I could make a joke about it. But I'd say, no, we're outside of the average. But they say, well, how, so we didn't factor you in on the average? No, you, yeah, because I was so deviated from the standards. It broke your equipment. Like, I just told you not to conclude me because it would break your equipment. You know, if I've ever been accused of anything, it's breaking beakers and Bunsen burner. You know, I wasn't allowed to touch, you know, at some point in high school, they said, don't touch the Bunsen burner. So that's all I could think about for any science-based class. I do say, one day I'm going to touch that Bunsen, not even the Bunsen burner. This is actually true. I would just stare at those nozzles. And I was enthralled with not those nozzles, the gas came through for the Bunsen burners. Like I would, I would smooth those and pat them and rub them down. This is like a, what do we call it? Harlequin science class. I had a longing touch, where my hands lingered on the handles and the shiny stem of the nozzles that I fantasized would deliver gas to a Bunsen burner. Imagine, you know, Bunsen burner that would warm my heart. There you go. It's true, though. That's a total point, another pointless meander, but I would stare at those things so long in fantasy. I was really enthralled. And luckily they would have them shut off, but I would always test it to see, because I was, yeah, it had a longing touch. I think, was there like, remember Chris Isaac? I think that was in the 90s or the 80s. I think that was one of the songs that wasn't a hit. I don't know, or maybe it was like, who was Sylvia too? The boy who loved a nozzle. How did we get here? Okay, so, pointless meanders. I was still explaining what those are. So I'm here to keep you company. The show's very different. It goes off topic. I get mixed up. Then I backtrack. All that stuff just to keep you company so you can fall asleep. So this is one thing as strange as it's a podcast you don't really listen to. You just kind of barely listen to it. I think that's pretty clear, right? Because you, if you're new, you may be wondering, is he serious? And I'd say, as serious as, I mean, I'm serious about fault, like, I'm serious about all that stuff. That all happened. It's all true. I mean, except for the parts, so like the public, but, you know, is it true that I think that's a good business idea? Smoothing and padding, rubbing down beds? Yes. Have I run my hands across a Bunsen burner nozzle or whatever the heck it's called, gas outlet, I don't even know. Yes, stared at it all day long throughout class. Well, the rest of my classmates were probably staring at one another. I was too afraid. I said, well, at least, this is the thing. I said, at least I know you're shut off. I would just, I said, well, it turns out you can be rejected by a nozzle. Just an authority figure has to intervene and say, can you get your hands off the nozzle and pay attention, please? And I'd say, well, you can't, can you stop me from staring at it? I don't think you can. I mean, you could ask me to. Okay. My soul is always revealed in this podcast in the most interesting ways. But I think there's a lot of people out there that can connect with that. Like whether you say, huh, I wouldn't mind somebody smoothing. I mean, that's what the great staff that works really hard at these hotels does anyway, that doesn't get enough credit or, you know, tips, you know, throw those tips down. But And I'm sure there's a large percentage of our listeners that have stared longingly at a like, or, you know, had bunts and burner-based fantasies that are purely, you know, not anything that would be in a Harlequin book. It would just be, I guess it would be a metaphor, but for me it would be true. It's not a metaphor. I fantasized about having my own operating Bunsen burner, or the teacher just saying, go ahead, light it up, except for Andrew. That's what the teacher would say. Say, you could just hold on, like, so anyway, where was I? This is a podcast you don't really listen to. I think that qualification is clear. You just kind of, I'm background noise or a friendly voice that you say, oh, I feel, you know, it's not pity I feel for you. It's a relatable empathy. I say, okay, yeah, a little compassion. And I can relate to, I can't relate to that, but Scoots, but I can feel for you. And that puts me at ease. I know I'm human too in a different way. And so I can relax and listen and just barely listen to me. So you don't really listen to me, or you kind of listen unless you need to, because I'll be here all night to keep you company, to make the deep, dark night less lonely if you need to. But ideally, you just fall asleep. So I don't really put you to sleep so much as keep you company. Be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bestie. I'll be the Bunsen to your burner. I don't even know. Was Bunsen the person that invented it? I mean, I know there's honeydew Bunsen. But, I'll be the... I guess there's too many... We can't go there because it's too metaphorical if we get any closer. Just like the teacher said, Andrew, why don't you stand on that side of the room and watch us use the Bunsen burners? So where are we here? Don't really listen to me. Don't pay attention. Why do I make this show? I make this show because I've had trouble sleeping my whole life, and I know how it feels in the deep, dark night. That's why I call it the deep, dark night. But I also believe your sleep is important, so if I can help with that, that's really what I'm here for. Because if you're getting the rest you need and you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a manageable life when you feel rested. And if I can provide that, that would be my honor. And if I can't, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. There's tons of other sleep podcasts out there that are all a little bit different style than this one. This is the strange one. So, you know, that's what, but it also takes two or three tries. Hundreds of thousands, if not a million people have said, it took two or three tries for me to get used to this show. Or, you know, also a million people more than that have said, I strongly dislike you. In so many words. So instead of doing that, just check out another sleep podcast at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. Then you can get your needs met and keep sampling things. But if you're partway in the room here, where you say, well, there's something about that, I'm not sure, just give it a couple tries. Eventually, for the people it works for, they realize, oh, okay, this is something I consume in a loose, like out of focus way. The other thing that could throw new people off is the structure of the show. So I'll go through that really fast if I can. The show starts off with, it's structured in a very specific way. So it can come out free twice a week for anybody that wants to listen. So the show starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Then there's support. So again, that's what keeps the show going, is people that support the show directly or support our sponsors. Then there's support for listeners, support for the communities around the show. Then there's an intro, which we're almost done with now. So it's too late for me to explain it in time for the people that moved on. But the reason the intro goes on and on and on isn't because it's part of the support. It's because it's a show within a show, in a sense, to help ease you into bedtime, to give you some twilight between getting ready for bed and falling asleep. And it's this middle zone. And a lot of people listen as they get ready for bed and then they're unwinding. A couple percentage of people skip the intro, and a couple percentage of people might fall asleep during it. But for the most part, it's meant to ease you into bedtime. Then there's support again. So the show comes out twice a week for free. Believe it or not, there's a lot of work that goes into the show. But it's also just important for me that you can listen to it wherever you want. Over 450 archive episodes for people that sleep all night, like want to listen all night or kind of sample what works best for them. So then there'll be a story. Originally thought it was going to be one thing, but I guess tonight we'll have to, we got to keep exploring this Bunsen burner thing. Because I had, while I was recording, I could see Freud and Jung. And I'm pretty sure they were crying laughing, but they may have just been crying. It was just some sort of, I don't know if it was, I don't know why this came up, I had a vestigial image, but if for me it's a vestigial image because it happens every day. I say, what is that Freud? Is those the spirits of Freud and Jung laughing at me again? Or, I mean, in joy. So I say, well, it makes me feel good if they're laughing with joy and they're rolfing or whatever. I got to feel good about being human. You know, I can't do any better. So, I mean, who else has that on the resume? Cracked up the spirits of Freud and, I mean, probably a lot of people. they're probably watching everybody. Particularly my love affair with Bunsen burners, my strong feelings about it, probably. So that's, so we'll have an episode. I don't know what it'll be about now. Bunsen burners or something. Love. Exciting. Not exciting and not new. Pretty mundane love. Probably won't be. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. And then there's thank yous at the end of the show. So that's how the podcast works. That's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. I work really hard. I earn a nice drive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple ways we're able to keep this podcast coming out twice a week for free. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Everybody, this is, I don't know how this is going to go. This is I was thinking about Bunsen burner love in my odes to Bunsen burners that I may have talked about in the intro. But then I said, Bunsen burner love reminds me of a song. Like when I was like, well, what would that be? Like, could I talk about Bunsen burners for 50 minutes? And, you know, without talk, like without just going about Bunsen, Honeydew, and Beaker. And then I said, well, I don't know. And then I said, like, but then I thought about something that I don't think I've ever talked about on the show. And that's the song Radar Love, which I'm already embarrassed because I did pause it for a split second to look up. So this is going to be interesting because I didn't even open. Here's the thing. I had amends to make, apologies to give before I even finished opening my mouth. So up until literally this point in my life, like today I learned, and I'm not kidding, this is not done for the podcast. My whole life, so there's a song called Radar Love, which I thought of Bunsen burner love. Let's actually do the syllables. Radar Love, that's three syllables. Bunsen burner love. Bunsen, that's two. Unfortunately, that's two syllables. Bunsen burner love. Radar love, Bunsen burner love. Too many syllables, so I can't. But that's a song I thought of when I thought of Bunsen burner love. And up until literally this point in my life, I thought that song was sung by the band Bad Company. And I'll get into a little bit of that now. But it turns out it's not. I've been living yet another delusion that I've been living in a fraught delusion. That's why I want to talk about it. So I do feel some relief. Now, those of you that are younger than me, you didn't have to experience any of this in your life. So you're very lucky. And, you know, once I turned my will of listening to music over to Carole King, like you hear on the podcast, I didn't have to worry about it much either, too. But, so what is the, where am I? So there's a song called Radar Love. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there's a band called Bad Company. And I'm pretty sure the lead singer of Bad Company is named Paul Rogers. And so once upon a time, when I was young, you know, you had to buy music. That's a whole thing. You know, there's probably going to be, or it's probably documentaries about it. You know, it's post-vinyl era. But so you could buy music on CD or cassette, or they wanted, you know, so you like whatever. That was just where, but you also listened to the radio. And I was born at a time like where there was still college radio, which was like independent radio. But other than that, you know, even back when I was a kid, there was most of the radio stations were owned by a few different companies. And you know, obviously they had to pay the bills, so I'm not sitting in total judgment, but there wasn't a lot of variety on the radio. Now, there was more when I was a lad than there is now, but there still wasn't a variety. And there was one station called, wherever you went, there was like usually, I think there was something called Adult Contemporary. I don't know what that is. And then there's pop. I don't know if Chris Cross, like Yacht Rock, is Adult Contemporary. I'm not kidding. I don't know what that is, but that was popular. Well, let's go through the dial of a kid when I was growing up in Syracuse. So it'd be two pop stations, and they moved around the dial, but one was like Z89. I don't know their call sign. Some of these I might be getting mixed up with, like, other places I've lived, but there was Z89. That was a pop station. So even, I don't know if it's still a pop station, but pop would mean Weeknd, Taylor Swift, Doja Cat, Bieber, you know, boy bands, mix of popular songs, like the top, maybe they called it the top 40 back then. Instead of a pop station. I don't know. But so that was, and I think 93, Y90, there was Y94 FM. I think that was Adult Contemporary. And then there was 93.7. I think That was also a pop station, probably Y94 FM. That was Adult Contemporary. I just said that. I don't know what 93 whatever was, because I can't think of it. But that was the other, I think, pop station. And then eventually you'd get pop and hip-hop and R&B. Anyway, I'm getting way too mixed up. But so there was one type of station, and I think in Syracuse it was, I don't know what it was called. I should know, but I think it was 95.7, but that could be in the Bay Area. But I think the Bay Area, like The Bone, was their classic rock station, 107.7 The Bone. 95X, turn it up. Yeah, that's what they would say, because it was cool. Like they'd say it like, or is that Freedom Rock? That would turn it up. But 95.7, would I say ZX9? 95.7, I had it, but whatever. And then at some point, then they started changing stations to like the Eagle. Like instead of being the call signs were cool, they became uncool. And that I think that was about the time satellite radio appeared. Where the again, this is not history. This is just my misremembering of it. But there'd be 95.7, KQR, I don't know. Now I have all these numbers in my head. Why did I, is that Freedom Rock? No, is that 95.7? Turn it up, man. I forgot what it was called. But that station was called Classic Rock. Now, in the 90s, what was Classic Rock? Classic Rock was anything from the Beatles. I think then after that, it was whatever. But, for the most part, it was limited, unfortunately, to about, I don't know if it was 100 songs, 50 songs, or 200 songs. It would be good to do that research, but it was not a lot of songs in repetition. And there's usually radio stations, in order to stay in business, they have a pretty heavy ad load, you say. So it's if there's an hour or for 30 minutes of radio, I think even then the ad load was pretty heavy, where it was 40% ads or whatever. Understandably, because you're listening for free in your car. And so you'd change the dial. But so whatever, I listened to the Classic Rock was one of the radio stations I listened to. And because, there was some Classic Rock, but I developed, and let me place another picture here for you. A lot of jobs I had, you weren't allowed to wear, you weren't allowed to have a personal device for listening to audio because it would be considered inappropriate. So you weren't allowed to have headphones on at a lot of my jobs. And even if you did, we'll get into that. But I did have when I was a cleaner, cleaning apartments and doing landscaping and mopping, cleaning bathrooms. When we were cleaning the apartments, someone would move out of an apartment and we would have to clean it to get it ready for the next person to move into it or for them to lease it. We would be able to listen to music or radio if we didn't make it too loud. And we would split up the apartments. So normally, here's how it would work. Two people would be assigned to clean one apartment. And I think, I don't know if you had to do two, on the days you were trying to turn over apartments, you already had your morning work until our morning meeting. I think I've talked about this. This was my summer and winter job when I wasn't in university or college or whatever you want to call it. So what you would do, walk you through this. Who would have known? My middle name's Bad Company. But so you would show up to work and you'd have, I think we had to get to work at 7:30. I think we worked 7:30 to 4, 9 to 5, because we didn't get paid for, I think we got a 30-minute break, so 8 to 4, or there was unpaid 30 minutes, I don't know. Yeah, 30 minutes paid break and 30 minutes of unpaid break. So you had to be at work for 8.5 hours. So I think we got to work at 7:30 and you'd have your morning assignment, right? So you would go, my morning assignment, I worked in the lobby with, I'm sure I've told this story before, but maybe it's just in my personal life. But so I'd clean the lobby bathrooms and there was a, we would vacuum and mop the lobby and clean anything else that needed to be done. I worked with this guy, Jim. He was the main lobby guy. So I'd be Jim's assistant. Then we would have a morning meeting, everybody that worked there and our supervisors, superintendent and assistant superintendent, they would say, like, they'd go, there'd be like, there was a board with all the apartments, like where they were, like if they needed to be cleaned or painted. I don't know if you cleaned or painted first. Probably had to clean it and then paint it. I don't remember. Now, painting was, they had a painter. So like, because that's like a skill. So Paul was the painter. And they also had like people that were skilled maintenance people. So again, we didn't do any fixing anything. Like I was just a cleaner. I think that was my technical job, cleaner or summer help or something. I don't know. But so there'd be a list of apartments or there'd be other jobs like that had to be done. But so you'd have to turn over these apartments. So you usually get assigned an apartment with somebody else. And probably a set time. And again, I don't know how, I mean, you wouldn't want to be in an apartment for the, like, even for the full 6 hours. Don't think you probably had maybe 4 hours or less in an apartment. Again, there's a lot of other work to be done. So I guess I don't quite remember how long. And there was different apartments. Like there's studios, which I think they called efficiencies, and one bedrooms. And maybe two bedrooms. I don't know if there was very many two bedrooms. So this was this was only for adults. It wasn't a retirement building because it was just apartments. But it was for adults over a certain age. I don't know if it was 55 or 65 or 60. But but none of that's important. So you'd clean the apartment and you would be assigned there. I just wanted to, like, set the mood. In the apartments, I don't think there was any carpet normally. Linoleum floors or tile, like some sort of, not linoleum, tile. That would be the last thing you would do, is to clean, wax, and polish the floors. And again, the waxing, and you take the wax off. Like, all those were skills that I eventually learned, but the wax, I don't think I ever got the waxing of the floor down because it was a permanent, it was a temporary permanent wax. So you'd strip the floors. I think you strip the floors first before you clean it. Yeah, maybe, but you don't wax it until that's like the last thing you do after everything else is done because then it has to dry. So probably would go painting, then cleaning, then waxing. Okay, but we're focused on the cleaning. So normally if you had a partner, the first thing you would do is you'd decide, like you'd think, oh, the bathroom's going to be the worst, but the bathroom wasn't the worst job. So it was the kitchen, and normally you would divvy up the kitchen for two or three jobs. So I think you'd either get the appliances or the cabinets, because this was a generation of people that I think at the time you could still smoke cigarettes in your place. And so, and there was a lot of kitchen cabinets. And so cleaning the kitchen cabinets was like, you'd either have to clean the kitchen cabinets or the refrigerator and the stove, the oven. And so you'd decide who was going to do each one of those, or you'd switch it off, or somebody got into the apartment earlier and saw the fridge. And like, so sometimes you'd decide before you went in there and you'd get really unlucky, because anything could be cleaned. I mean, if it got to a certain point, they'd replace it, and eventually would replace all the stoves and ovens. That was like when I was working there in both buildings. These are two apartment towers. So you decide, okay, who's going to clean the oven and the stove and who's going to clean the cabinets? And you would also have to clean, well, the baseboards. I'm trying to think what else in the apartment, all the fixtures, anything. So what else do you have to clean? All the plates, you know, the switches and stuff, all the light fixtures. And the bathroom. So I think after the kitchen, you divvied up, like one person would do the bathroom and one person would probably do everything else. I don't know. I'll think of it eventually. And yeah, so I'm guessing if it was a one bedroom, you're talking, oh, the windows, those are, you see, you'd have to clean the windows. So I guess, yeah, if you were the other person, you'd have to clean the windows and the, everything in the apartment except for the bathroom. And I don't find myself doing the bathroom too often. Like, I think some people preferred the bathroom and some people didn't, but whatever. And so, but one of the key benefits of that is that someone would have a radio. So you'd set up a radio in the room. Now, most of the time, yeah, you would listen to classic rock because there wasn't many options. I mean, maybe you'd listen to pop, but then you might get, you know, you're, I don't know, might be like classic rock was like the one point most people could tolerate and agree on. And you couldn't, you know, definitely wouldn't be listening to anything like talking. I'm surprised you didn't listen to more sports talk, but probably like wouldn't have been too enjoyable either. But so you'd listen to the classic rock most of the time, and that would at least help you. You'd think it became an exercise in futility, to be honest with you. And this is probably why I love podcasting and making podcasts and all that stuff. Is like, like there's so much variety and I mean, and then how lucky those of you that have just grown up in the streaming era, how lucky you are. Now, the one thing that's missing that companies are still, and I've tried to tell these companies to do it, is that, like that, even though there's like streaming and stuff, it's like people still enjoy having somebody that's like an expert or a DJ sometimes, in my opinion. So yeah, okay, so you listen to the radio, but it was barely tolerable because it was really, I'm not kidding, the same 200, if on best case scenario, maybe 300 songs over the week. And you would hear some songs and you just became, and this is just me, it's not a judgment on the musical quality of this band. But one of the bands that had my ire was Bad Company. And I'm not sure why, like, there was other bands, like, even at the time, like, there's, like Led Zeppelin, you can mostly tell, like is mostly good. I mean, even though they wouldn't play very deep into Led Zeppelin catalog, or the Beatles, and Rush even, like, sometimes they played Tom Sawyer too much, but you still be like, okay, there's something timeless about those bands most of the time. I mean, even in overexposure, you might have preferred not to listen to the same songs over and over again, or whatever. Rolling Stones, there's a lot, the Who, you know those are the classic rock stalwarts. But Bad Company, if you were listening to a classic rock station in the 90s for 3 hours, you were going to hear a Bad Company song. And I was not a Bad Company fan. I mean, at some point. But let's read about them from Wikipedia. They're an English rock supergroup formed in 1973. Paul Rodgers is a lead singer. And then they've had different lineups. Let's see how many years they were active from 73 to 82, 86 to 99, 2001 to 2002, and 2008 to present. They had great success in the 70s, so that would have been 20 years. The 90s, that's what makes, I guess, 20 years is classic rock. Their singles were Bad Company, Oh, Feel Like Making Love. That's one of the songs. So maybe we could, maybe that, I don't know if we should associate that. Can't Get Enough, Good Lovin' Gone Bad. Rock and Roll Fantasy, that's not bad. Shooting Star, Ready for Love. Oh, yeah, ugh. Feel Like Making Love, I like, because it's like a great punchline, like for everything. But I just say it. History. So there's a Paul Rodgers era. I saw Paul Rodgers perform once. I was very under the influence, and I have no, so I have no idea where, what point in my life it was, or where it was, because I was already too far gone. But I remember he was a very hairy man. And I don't think he had a shirt on, or if he did, it was open to his belly. And he performed mostly Bad Company songs. Let's see. So Let's see. Contrary to speculation, they named the band after a Jeff Bridges film. Roger stated that came from a book of Victorian morals that showed a child looking up at an unsavory character against the lamppost and said, "Beware of bad company." There was four seasons of musicians from a couple different bands. Their debut album came out in 74. It reached number one on the 200 chart in the U.S. and number three in the U.K. Certified 5 times platinum. Can't Get Enough and Moving On. 75, their second album, Straight Shooter, came out. Number three in the U.K. and U.S., but went platinum in the U.S. Good Love and Gone Bad and Feel Like Making Love. Third album, Run With the Pack, reached number four. That was 76. Then Burning Sky in 77. So they put out an album a year. Smart business. Then they, had it on and off. Brian Howe, they took over 85. Looks like they replaced, Rogers already had a new supergroup called The Firm. I definitely didn't see them in the late 90s or aughts. Let's see. But yeah, they formed a new supergroup, and they had other albums and stuff. And this is no offense to, like, the only, my issue with Bad Company is just overexposure to those same songs. Whatever they call it. Return of Paul Rogers, 98 to 2008. So maybe that is when I saw him. I don't know. I have to ask around at my friends, because it's like, when did I see Bad Company and where? Or Paul Rogers. I mean, it could have been at a music festival. I remember he was very enthusiastic, very sweaty, very hairy, but gave it his all. And we probably had fun. I don't know. So that's about Bad Company. I don't know why. Up until, I guess it took me 20 minutes or something to explain that. Up until today in my life, I assumed the song Radar Love, which I guess I can see because they have different love songs. Like, I really so there's a song called Radar Love, which we'll talk about in the Bunsen Burner. I don't know how we'll relate it to Bunsen Burners, but we will. But it turns out Radar Love is, I just learned this, by the Dutch rock band Golden Earring. And I really like Radar Love. And the only thing I had against it, well, one, it was a slightly overexposure, but it has a couple different, like, it's one of those songs that has a couple different acts in it, or feels like it changes. And it has a couple different feels to it. Like, there's like a part where you're driving and they're talking about driving, and then the rock comes in and then it comes back out. And there's like a not a quiet desperation, but a desperation that I like about it. So we'll talk about it and maybe think about how Bunsen Burners relate. But it was news to me that it wasn't by Bad Company. And that was like, other than slight overexposure on classic rock radio, that was my only other beef, was like, I love Radar Love, but I loathe Bad Company. Only, again, nothing against Bad Company. It's my issue only. Nothing against Bad Company, just my feelings about them. So let's find out about Radar Love and maybe Golden Earring before we get into the lyrics. Let's see, this is mostly like technical stuff, so we might just have to get into like cover versions. It's been covered by Tribe 8, Ministry, U2, R.E.M., Ian Stewart Donaldson, Blue Man Group, Def Leppard, and a lot of other bands. Holy cow. Ghost Dance. I'm going to have to look up some of these covers and listen to them. It was in Guitar Hero. It's been featured in a Simpsons episode twice, two different ones. And in a movie Baby Driver and George Clooney's film that just came out, The Tender Bar. So I guess I'm not the only person that likes this song. Let's see. It hit the charts. It came out in 74. 13 in the U.S. Billboard. UK single 7, number one in Spain, number one in the Netherlands. But I mean, it had a long, it must have been like some sort of super platinum or whatever. I think Golden Earring maybe had another, I don't know if, let's see, Golden Earring. Whoops, that's the wrong button. They're a Dutch rock band founded all the way back in 61 in The Hague as the Golden Earrings. Radar Love, they had a song Twilight Zone and When the Lady Smiles, 30 top 10 singles on the Dutch charts, 25 albums. And I can hear someone saying their name, so maybe that's like a factoid. People tried to say, that song's not by Bad Company, it's by Golden Earring. And I said, thanks for, do you know that I loathe Bad Company? But that's only my own bad feelings. So, okay. So let's think about this here. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let me look up the lyrics. Radar Love lyrics. And then, oh boy, wrong way. And then we'll look up Feel Like Making Love lyrics. Feel Like Making Bunsen Burner lyrics to you. I don't know. I always like punctuating, like, feel like make, like, not like when I mean it. Okay, let's start out with Bunsen Burner. So this goes out. So picture me again back towards the intro as a boy in a class. So once upon a time, we had these science classrooms in high school. And one of my great, you know, I think I'd seen the movie E.T. And I've watched enough movies to know that this is where rom-coms, like the first sparks of romance happen, mostly, or one of the places they happen, other than, you know, random collisions, is across the tables in a, you know, I guess it would be chemistry lab and not a, well, that's right. Like, because it'd be a lab you'd use for biology or chemistry. I think we had two different labs, and I'm thinking about it. We did it at my high school. We had a bio lab and a chemistry lab because I can remember the desk, the teacher's desk was in different places because I'm picturing my chemistry. My chemistry teacher was also our economics teacher, Mr. P. And I talked about that one other time, I think, about the economic stuff. And Mark was my partner in chemistry. No, I guess that was economics. I wonder if he was also, maybe we had economics and chemistry together. Like, that wouldn't make a lot of sense, but it would, you know. But anyway, chemistry labs and science labs anywhere. Now they call it, I don't know if they have a STEM lab. But this is where, for me, no romance ever happened there except for the ones I saw on the big screen. But I always hoped it would happen. I can remember forlorn feelings, both of my classmates, but also thinking about that's very Freudian, I guess. There's nozzles and connectors and heat and warmth and sparks, chemicals, you know, I don't know if they're binding, you know, they're mixing and intermingling. Heady stuff for a high school student, you know. But also for a person like me, who I guess we should run through my history with. I think I've talked about chemistry sets before. Once upon a time, that was like what you would ask for when you, like when they said you're too old. At some, any point, if you watched enough television and movies like I did, you asked for a chemistry set. And this was prepubescence, where you would hope a chemistry set would unlock the powers of the universe. Now, for some people it did because they actually took the time to read the instructions and stuff like that. And I was already running my own experiments before that, based on nothing more than what, you know. I think more than once I got one. And I would proceed to kind of do stuff to be like, well, you know, let's see it. Let's see if we could take it, you know, like adjust our house's foundation. Or, you know, this makes things smell not good. Or, you know, whatever, stuff, you know, let's see what this happens with this stuff. And it was a different era. I'm sure that they were like, yeah, whatever, give it to the kids. They'll figure it out. Put a, you know, put a label. You know, this is, might have been pre-label era. You know, a lot of the tests, the tests, they, you know, I was the kid that, that but so I did get a chemistry set, at least one or some, and then probably other of my siblings did. And I remember one that was nicely organized, and it had a, like, it was slot for everything. And back then, yeah, it was like it was the day. I was like, okay, if I can just get this right, once again, I guess it, then it projected into the lab. Everything else is going to fall into place. If I could just mix these, you know, right elements, you know, then I'll, emotionally I'll feel fine. That didn't happen. But, you know, I tried. And then that, I guess, projected into these labs where I would sit there, and I had already had that sense that it was this one day sense, right? That one day, and then I had, like, I think then I was like, one day I'm going to get into the, one of those labs, like in the movies where there's nozzles, and I'm going to, you know, do some Bunsen burning. I'm going to get a beaker. I'm going to get one of those other things, that name, you know, those bubblers and those tubes with the swirl. I'm going to do some swirly stuff. I'm going to do some, I don't know what distillation is, or, you know, I'm going to unlock chemical bonds, man. I'm going to do some chemical bonding, and then it's going to be okay. And I remember sitting in that class, like I said in the intro, and just like touching, because they were this special kind of silver, really well made. You had a, at least our labs, in the the archetypal biochem labs for me, had these thick black tabletops. Couldn't even write in them, but, you know, they were made to, I don't know, absorb whatever. And, you know, you sat up, I think you sat on stools because you were up high. And then there was those nozzles. And like I said, that most of the time the teacher had them turned off or they weren't connected to anything. But I can feel it in my hands right now, that hard, cold metal that would get warmer and warmer under my touch. And just wondering if I turned the thing, if the gas was on, if I'd get in trouble because it would make a noise or a smell. And everybody knew that I was the one stroking the, and that's what I was doing. Like, it's a substitute, I guess, for other things. Like, I do, like, running my hands softly over the, touching those nozzles, and thinking about plugging that tube in there, and then that attaches to the Bunsen one day. And they probably were like, you're going to need 5 permission slips to, when we do actually use a Bunsen burner, maybe your parents should actually be here, with you, because, but yeah, it's like, oh, Bunsen, when I think about you, do I think about love? Oh, Bunsen burners, I don't want to live with, like, I couldn't wait to hold you in my hand, to connect you together, in your love that you would bring me somehow. Wasn't sure how. Like, those golden dreams I had, I wasn't dreaming of my yesterday. I was dreaming of my future, to wrap you, the heavenly rapture of connection, you know, to forever, forever, forever. Oh boy, on the way. Cause I felt like, you know, making Bunsen burner love. Oh, did I feel like making Bunsen? Did I feel like making Bunsen? Feel like making Bunsen burning with you, oh Bunsen burner. Yeah, because Bo Bunsen, if I think about you, I think about, like, not just love, but the underlying feelings that lead to love, the spark, a big bang within me, right below my stomach, up shooting up right now. I can still feel it. I feel titillated, and I am not afraid to say it. Without you, Bunsen burner, I couldn't make without the connector, the valves, and that slotted thing in the tube, I couldn't make a Bunsen burn anyway. And now, I don't ask for much. I don't need the sun. I don't need the moon. I don't need the sun to shine on me. I just want to get connected to that rubber tube and then turn that valve. And maybe use that sparky thing that looks like a cup and you push it together and hear it and then hear that sweet, sweet thing that sounds like a fan at night that helps me sleep. So satisfying. Because my whole life I felt like Bunsen burning. Oh, felt like making a Bunsen burn. Oh, feel like making a Bunsen burn. Feel like making a Bunsen burn with you. Like I said, these are the golden dreams I had as a lad. Not a lot of lyrics here. I could bring me to another place. Take me away, Bunsen burner. It could be reborn just by watching you, by hearing your power. Oh, I'm on the way. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to be somebody. Because I feel like Bunsen and feel like Bunsen burning. I feel like Bunsen burning. I feel like Bunsen burning. I feel like Bunsen burning with you, Bunsen burner. I do. I feel like Bunsen burning. I do feel like burning my Bunsen. I do feel like burning my Bunsen with you. Yeah. Yeah, that's repetitive, though. So that's like I feel like Bunsen burning. But, you know, I've been sitting in science class in the lab, my hands sweating on the valve. There's a voice in my head that drives the heel of my palm. It's this sweet, sweet voice calling from deep within me. It feels so good. It feels like what I imagine love and two-way attraction feels like. It's saying, I need you to turn me. And it's like halfway through class, and I'm turning you, valve, shifting you a little bit. But when that valve gets lonely, you know, it's longing. Oh, am I longing too for that connection? It's too much. That valve needs a tube, you know, coming in from a Bunsen. Don't need nothing at all. Because I got a thing, it's called Bunsen burner love. I got a wave of my palm to turn that knob. It's Bunsen love. You know, there's a song playing in my head. It doesn't even have a tune. It just has that feel. Not even a forgotten song. And I can feel the need to turn that valve and connect it and let it flow. Let that gas flow. This knob, this Bunsen burner's got me hypnotized, and I'm ready to start the Bunsen burning surprise, because I got a thing, it's called Bunsen burner love. I've got a lot of love for the Bunsen burner love, man. Yeah, I don't need to speed. I can take my time. But I gotta play it cool because the teacher's looking my way. Gotta take care. If only I could be alone with you, Bunsen burner and nozzles. It's coming on strong, that feeling to turn you, to connect you, to light your fire, baby. And yeah, I can hear it on, they'll probably be talking about it. But they could call me Bunsen boy. They could call me nozzle boy. See, are you stroking the nozzle there? And I say, yeah, I got Bunsen burner love. You know, when I get lonely, and I'm sure I've had enough, that Bunsen burning touch comes in. It's almost like it comes in from above. I don't need nothing else at all but my hand on that nozzle and the attachment of the hose, because I got a thing, it's called Bunsen love. I got a fire from my belly to the sky. I got a thing, it's called Bunsen burner love. I got a thing, it's called Bunsen love, man. So yeah, that's my ode to you, Bunsen burner. But I think about that. Some people might say we'll just spend a few more minutes dissecting this, because you're right. What is it about this? Freud, what would you, Jung and Freud are watching now, and all the greats, Rolfing at my expense. But yeah, they know it's the truth, because wherever they are, the big farm in the sky, all those people have known me. They saw me there. So let's think about it. The truth is, right, I was yearning for a fiery connection. I was yearning for, I'm trying to think about this. Well, let's just talk about it metaphorically and truthfully. So there was the cold metal, but this unfamiliarity, right, this newness, it was tactile. There's two knobs and two nozzles normally for each side of the desk. There's something shiny about it, right? I hadn't really been exposed to it. There's also something concrete. There was a weight to it. Even though you didn't have to hold it up, you could sense the mass in your hand, that this was well made. Even when I tapped on it multiple times and held the handle, this wasn't a handle for water, like a normal handle I had experience with. You know who'd like this is Chuck Tingle. I'm feeling like this is a bit of a tingler, but indirect tingler in my hand. And you know, I could move it, and I had some control, even though the authority figure may have turned off the control to the actual gas. At this point, it was just like a dream, like a fantasy. I guess that's like a rock and roll fantasy. Instead, I had a Bunsen burner fantasy, and it really was that simple. Let's play it out that the gas is on. And then there's the nozzle, and there's something about those nozzles too. The weight, the mass, the strength, but the different notches on there. No, that really got me, man. You got me. Holy cow, do you. Just something, again, tactile. I could put my finger on it and bump it down each notch. And then again, go in each notch. I could tap the tip of my finger against that little circle that the gas came out, right? Maybe you even make a sound if the classroom was quiet enough and people were probably taking a test or whatever I was supposed to be paying attention for. Hey, you had my full attention. Every inch of you, holy moly. And again, I'm not even doing this to be funny. This is just capturing this truthful moment that I had over and over again. And yeah, it has other things in there, but this is also a real moment I had. I shared moments with a Bunsen burner, whatever the heck the term for the thingamajig is. Bunsen wouldn't burn without it, right? And that's how I spent most of my time, was just with that nozzle and the handle and the metal apparatus. But then there was a time, and I believe the Bunsen burners had a red hose. Sometimes the hose had been trimmed. It was well-worn, you know. I went to a school that probably didn't get Bunsen burners, but maybe the Bunsen burners had been there the whole time. But it had that hose, so I could feel the rubbery hose in my hand and the light somewhere between red and faded red and maroon. And finally, I would get to connect it to the connector and make sure it was snug, right? No gas. But then you say, okay, is it snug? I don't want to over snug it, you know. And then the teacher's telling us what to do. And then down that hose, it ran to the actual Bunsen burner, which was a little bit like a metal candle. Nothing. And then you say, this is what it all it is. It's just a tube with a base. And then it has this thing. And that's it. That's where the magic happens. Then normally it would either be attached to the thing you would put the, not the beaker, but whatever the heck the thing is that you'd hold stuff in. And again, the teacher will probably go over making sure you use something that's Pyrex and, you know, all the rules. Maybe that's as far as we were allowed to get, but it, usually there was a stand. There was also a different kind of metal, but still, a heavy, strong metal that maybe you could attach to the base of the Bunsen burner, or maybe just slid the Bunsen burner underneath there. Not sure about that because I wasn't really interested in that, or the beaker, or the chemical reaction. I was interested, I guess, in the, I'd already got most of my interest in that long tube. And for me, that was really what it's about. It's like, wait a second, so I get to turn this, and maybe there was some anxiety that first time, that second time, that third time, that tenth time. You know, did I get the tube on? Again, I'm not trying to be funny. This is really what it was like for me, and not even speaking in a metaphor. I'm not speaking in a metaphor. Yeah, though the people at heaven are laughing like it is a metaphor. And they say, no, this is just this is what I had. Then it's like, okay, now I got to make sure. And then maybe if your lab partner was there, maybe you were discussing, were you working as a team or as an individual? Where they were like, the teacher said, Andy, you cannot be involved in this at all other than as an observer and a setter-upper. So maybe that's why I had so much investment on just those parts. But yeah, you'd have the thingamajig that made the spark. You would turn the gas on. And then they had to be like a blue, yellowy, orangey, golden flame. And that sound, that I can't do it on a sleep podcast because it comes... There's more water in it and more tongue, and it would make that sound. And again, I knew that that's where I had to maintain control. Up until then, I had been totally lost in you. I knew that that's where I had to behave appropriately, because then, like I said, well, if you mess with it once it's on, you probably got to go to the principals. Like for me. Once a Bunsen burner, I didn't want to lose the rest of it, the process I'd just been through, the connection. Maybe that's what I was really, looking for there. Not the metaphor you're all thinking of and giggling about, which is fine. I know that's what it was like, the connection that something flows through. It's connecting and opening the valve. And yeah, maybe for me, it didn't always result in a flame, a burning, burning flame. But it was like loving that. That's what I was looking for. Connection and flow. Some would say that it's release. I said, no. That's your metaphor, not mine. So I don't know. I guess I didn't realize this is where it would go. I'm not like... But that's where I came from the intro. It's like I couldn't stop thinking about it. I always had Bunsen burner on my mind. Always on my mind. So thank you to Golden Earring and Bad Company and Paul Rogers and Classic Rock for leading me here. I didn't think this is where we'd end up. But yeah, eventually turn the valve off and let stuff cool down. And then you take it apart. I don't know how, if they used a timer for that or how they did that. Probably we had gloves and goggles and smocks on. Almost positive about that part, but I didn't think about that because all my focus was drawn in on that handle and that tube and that metal. And that's my experience. I'm sure other people had a different experience. I'm sure people were watching me being like, that poor kid. But hey, I'm grateful to be able to rest my hand on something and let it slowly warm up under my touch so that it can relax and expand and unwind. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Catherine, Jordan, and Katie. Thanks, and good night to Jennifer, Greg, and Jack. Thanks, and good night to Ty, Andrew, and Jody. Thanks, and good night to Linda, Adrian, and Peggy. Thanks, and good night to Suzanne, Kalia, and C. Thanks tonight to Rob, Avery, and Tanagra. Thanks tonight to Sylvie, Deborah, and Jen. Thanks tonight to Leah, Jennifer, and Siobhan. Thanks tonight to Faith, Rod, and Beverly. Thanks tonight to Lori, Evelyn, and Kimberly. Thanks tonight to Sarah, Cassie, and Melanie. Thanks and good night to Sebastian, Colin, and Sophie. Thanks and good night to Marty and Hay. And thanks and good night to Nora and Kelsey. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon, supporting the show on every other places who are supporting their sponsors. That's how we're able to be here for free twice a week. I couldn't do it without you. And I want to thank everybody that spreads the word about the podcast or shares about it. It's a huge, huge way to help the show. I really appreciate it. It helps keep the show free for everybody. And also these Tuck You In sponsors have helped us, like been part of us growing the show and all the extra free episodes in the feed. Thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all-intro, all-night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53. Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix, so that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way. But these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. if you need support at supercast.com, and good night.